Michigan magical morning. How many of you ask yourselves multiple times during the year, why do I live here? I'm glad you do, brother, because you got to love it a lot to counteract my not loving it. Okay. But welcome this morning. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome to you as well. By the way, hi, Donna. Donna, say hi to Donna, okay? We all miss you and we're praying for you and we hope to see you very soon. I just want to take a moment to thank Weston for that fantastic message last week. Amen? Amen? I mean, I've been known occasionally to use props for preaching, but not props that go from there to there. I just thought it was really, really a good job. Okay? Thank you. Where are you? Thank you. He's downstairs. Never mind then. All right. Today, we're going to start a series that will deal specifically with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I want to start this morning just with a little bit of a disclaimer, if you don't mind. I don't want to, nor should anybody ever think, that they are more spiritual or more mature in their faith just because you speak in tongues. Come on, come on. You are not less than if you do, and you're not less than if you don't, all right? I mean, God knows there's some pretty nasty people out there who speak in tongues. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to present the biblical facts, not my opinions, that need to be looked at. Also, please excuse me, I guess, I'm going to use a lot of Greek words to help explain it, but I think it's really important that you get that. So with all of that said, here goes, okay? Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Has the cold just kind of closed you down?
No.
Okay. There's some argument today that being infilled with the Holy Spirit is a thing of the past. It just doesn't happen anymore. And that the only filling or experience that we receive like that is when we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, all right? Some say tongues has passed away with other gifts of the Spirit, and the Pentecostals and some non-denominational churches are just plain crazy, and they've been deceived. Or even worse, this is the one I really like, is they say we're demon-possessed, okay? So you can see that there's quite a bit of argument that goes on. But I want you to know this morning that nowhere, say nowhere,
nowhere,
nowhere in the Bible does it say nor imply that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been regulated, relegated, if you will, only to biblical history and or has been done away with. It's as real today as it was yesterday. Tongues are as real today as they were yesterday. Speaking in tongues is something you get when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that that's the only thing that you get. Amen? There's a lot of things that you get, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks coming up. And I don't know about you, but I made a decision a long time ago in my Christian walk. If God's word says it, then I believe it, period, and that settles it. Amen? If it says it in the Bible, I'm going to believe it. It doesn't matter if I like what it says in the Bible. There are some scriptures in the Bible that I don't really like. You know, but I can't take those scriptures and throw them out. I have to believe what it says. In this upcoming series, we're going to look at the intent and the need of that baptism or that infilling, and bring it into the present and answer the questions like, what is it for? I don't think everybody realizes what it's for. Who is it for? Hey, guess what? It's for everybody, but we'll talk about that. When was it for? It's for now. I am thankful, amen, that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we're also going to talk about why we need it. Why Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go away so that something more important can happen. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Why? Tell me why would we think for a moment that in these days that are more evil than the days before it, that Holy Spirit isn't as alive and well as it was back then and still comes and fills us? I could get excited. The series is entitled The Power That Still Prevails, okay? The Power That Still Prevails. So please stand with me if you would. And we will make our Bible declaration together. So take your Bible in your hand or your tablet or your phone, whatever you're going to use today, and lift it towards heaven. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. I'll wait for the rest of you.
Ready.
Oh, yeah. That's one. Are you ready?
Ready?
All right. Here we go. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. How many of you are glad you can do what the Bible says that you can do?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. That ought to get you excited this morning, okay? Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, I receive it, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have in the church a specific day, a day that's put on the church calendar, that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it's called Pentecost Sunday. I'm sure you've heard of it, or at least I kind of hope you've heard of it. And it's a day that we emphasize and we celebrate the coming or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit to you and I. The day when God sent the power from on high. How many of you are thankful today for the power from on high, okay, that the apostles were told to wait for in Jerusalem by Jesus himself? That day when the apostles and others were in the upper room and tongues of fire came and rested upon each one of them and they spoke in tongues. You can't deny what that says, okay? Please turn to me. Well, do that too. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and we will read verses 15 through 17. It wasn't this quiet in my bedroom last night. Mark 16, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm glad I'm not among those that will be condemned. Verse 17 says this, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Do you follow him this morning? You follow Jesus, right? Okay, then he says something. He says, they will, not they might. It says, they will speak with new tongues.
Amen.
All right? We've come to call this portion of Scripture and where it's stated in other places, the Great Commission. But there is so much more than just a call to witness within these verses, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the service, please?
I don't know if anybody else noticed, but his shirt says the Sermonator. Let's pray. Father, we do receive your word today, God, and I thank you that you've given us a teacher that can pull your word apart and put it out there for us that we can understand it, God, that we can receive it, Lord, because we do believe it. Father, for anyone that hears this message that may have already put up a wall, God, I thank you that you're tearing that wall down.
Yes, Lord.
Father, yes. As you know, God, from experience, you know how I felt, Lord, and that I needed walls torn down. And I thank you that you did that, Father. And I know that you're no respecter of persons, God. I know
that's
that
right.
You did it for me. You can do it for all, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Father, have your way in each one of us today, God. For things that we may have been taught that were off, God, or not complete. I thank you that today will be a day that we can accept your word as it's written, God, as you intended it, and Father, make it real for us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we thank you for Pastor Wes.
Jesus.
Lord, I thank you for the power that you work through him, God. And Father, let that power, let your presence be evident to all of us mm-hmm. today. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. You know, I am so blessed that when I take off, that I have so many men, if you will, that will fill the pulpit, and I don't have to worry. Amen? Like Pastor Josh, like Gary, amen? Like Todd Foreman, like Weston. And I think that we have just been blessed in this church to have a group of men that seek God to find out what God might want to say to you on any certain day. Amen? Amen. In the Assemblies of God, in their publication of the 16 Fundamentals, the seventh one is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, wherein it states that every believer, say every believer, every believer is entitled to this experience. In fact, Jesus affirmed that speaking in new tongues would be one of the supernatural signs that would follow them that believe. We just read that. So are you with me so far? And I'm just going to say this again in a different way. My experience has been this. If the Bible confirms it, I'm going to believe it. Amen? I'm going to believe it. And if the Bible says that I'm going to speak with new tongues and I'm not speaking with new tongues, then I'm going to seek God until I am speaking with new tongues. Amen? Come on, let those walls come down now this morning, amen?
Amen?
You know, if God has something for you, you've got to want it. And sometimes the devil will put up a big fight to make sure that you don't get it. But I want you to know this morning, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can defeat what the devil tries to come against you with. All right? I hope you're with me this morning. Amen? God bless you. Let's go to the first example of speaking in tongues, if you will, that is found in Acts 2, 1 through 4, where the Bible says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that doesn't mean that they're all sitting in a Honda. I'm sorry. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them, excuse me, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just, I don't have this written down, but there's something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that some have come to misunderstand. Let me give you this part first, okay? And that is, it's like you receive a language, and you know that language, and you can speak it any time. But there's been a teaching or a belief somehow that you can only speak in tongues when the Spirit comes upon you, and you lose all control, and you babble. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? Tongues is something that we receive from God, and it's a language in itself. Do I know what I say when I'm speaking in tongues? I'm sorry, but I don't. But I trust what the Word of God says. Amen? Come on now. But of all the times where people spoke in tongues in the book of Acts, this is the most cited example of this. Maybe it was the first time this phenomena ever took place. Maybe that's why. And it set this pattern for believers to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in tongues. But this instance is very unique than any other that is recorded in the book of Acts. Why? Because several miracles occurred that day other than and in addition to the believers speaking in tongues for the first time. Acts 2:5 through 6 says this, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language." On the day of Pentecost, the scriptures say that there was a multitude and they were gathered together in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. The word multitude in the Greek is the word plethos, which is used 25 times in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John to denote a massive, huge crowd of people, okay? And this is important because it tells us that there were far more foreigners in this crowd or in this multitude than there were believers who had been filled with the Spirit. Are you with me? Acts 2, 9, and 11 tells us that in that day there were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, strangers from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, and both Cretes and Arabians. And the believers who had just been filled with the Spirit were speaking in tongues so loudly, okay? I mean, they were speaking in tongues so loudly as they left the upper room and entered the streets that the entire crowd could hear them speaking. And the crowd was just amazed at what they heard. They couldn't believe it. Verse 6 says they were confounded or they were confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The word confounded is the Greek word syncheo, which means to perplex or to be stunned, to bewilder something, to baffle or to stupefy. And it means to amaze, okay? Or to cause an astonishment that literally throws people into this state of confusion. The word heard is the Greek word akouo, which simply means to hear. Okay? That's a simple one. All right? The word speak is the Greek word which means to speak, but the Greek tense is what's important here. It presents a picture of a people continuously speaking in tongues. Okay? In fact, the Greek word for speak is the same word used to describe someone who speaks fluently, and hear this, please, fluently in his own or in some other language. So, I mean, it's one thing to be able to speak some Spanish, okay, when you normally speak English. But it's another thing to be able to really speak Spanish and speak it fluently, or any other language if your dominant language is something else. But so this clearly shows us that the believers were speaking fluently and nonstop in tongues as they entered the streets that day from the upper room. Are you with me? Because please stay with me, okay? But notice the end of Acts 2:6 where it says, "Every man heard them speak in his own language." The word language is the Greek word dialectos, which is where we get the word dialect, okay? This means that believers were not only heard speaking in different languages, but they were heard speaking with all the specific dialects and the idioms, if you will, the phrases and the vernacular and the regional accents that were used in each geographical location from which the listeners came from. It's pretty amazing, really. Just think about it, okay? There were 120 believers speaking in tongues to this massive crowd of people. So this small group of 120 believers must have been speaking in hundreds of different dialects. Please understand something here. For one thing, this message isn't long, but it's so important, and I wanted to get this out of the way, not because I didn't want to preach it, but I wanted to get the tongues part of it out of the way, because the Holy Spirit came to give you so much more. Are you with me? So much more than tongues. But that shouldn't belittle the gift of tongues, okay? And I'm going to tell you again, please understand something. To know a language is one thing, but to know the different dialects of another language, okay, requires years of study and it involves the highest of skill. I mean, you really have to know what you're doing and really pay attention to grasp all of this. It would be an amazing feat for a group of highly educated language specialists to do this. But for a group of Galileans To speak so fluently, so many different dialects, was plain unheard of. And this is the reason why the crowd was so baffled and stunned. Acts 2:7 says that the majority of the believers who came out of the upper room speaking in tongues that day were what? They were Galileans, okay? Which caused even more of the international crowd to be so confused and confounded. Why? Because Galileans were honest. They were known to be simple people, okay? They were just known to be common folk, okay? They weren't known for their education. They weren't known for their wealth. Their labor, their work, and their way of life were all connected to the region of Galilee. They never left home, okay? They just stayed home. Everything they knew was about Galilee. And so the Galileans, they had no reason nor even a way to know the many foreign languages that were spoken or understood that day. And the people got confused. How could this be? This is why they reacted the way they did in Acts 2:7, where it does say, "Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, aren't all these who speak Galileans? Aren't all these who speak uneducated? Aren't all these who speak this kind of people that stay home? They don't have an education?'" In other words, all the people that we hear them speaking in our own language, they've always been in Galilee. How in the world did they learn this? And so to them, it was just confounding. It was totally confusing that this could happen. In Acts 2:7, the word amazed is the Greek word estasismai, which means to be beside oneself or to be out of one's head. It's a picture of one who is so stunned and so amazed at what is going on that he or she stands speechless, nearly paralyzed with shock. The word marveled is a Greek word that means to wonder or to stand in awe of, okay? In our day and dialect, you know what we would say? They were blown away. They were just blown away. They didn't know what to do next. They were so confused by what was coming out of these Galileans' mouths that it could be coming out of their mouths. But yet they received what God wanted them to receive, amen, because they heard every one of them speaking in their own language. And there's no doubt that the crowd that day was perplexed as they listened to these Galileans speak so many different languages and so many different dialects and idioms and on and on. But the question or argument is this. Were the disciples supernaturally speaking in known languages? Or was it something else? I mean, was that guy speaking in Italian, that guy speaking Roman, and the other guy speaking something else? Okay? What was it? Some have tried to say that those who came out from the upper room that day supernaturally spoke in known human languages. I've heard it so many times, okay? But Paul specifically wrote that speaking in tongues is not speaking in a known language. Amen. Are you going to believe everything the Bible says? Okay, then listen. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul said, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man," say no man, say no woman, say loudly, nobody understands him. That word unknown is actually italicized in the King James Version because it doesn't appear in the original Greek. The word was supplied by translators to show that Paul was not referring to known human languages. He was writing about a supernatural prayer language. Come on, you ought to get excited. That is known only to God. I mean, glory be to God. People ask me to pray for them all the time. Okay, that's part of my job. I love the fact that if I don't know exactly what to pray for them, I can pray in tongues and be confident that God is the only one that can interpret that unless someone has prayed to do so. Okay? But God understands me and I pray the perfect will of God. Glory be to God. And that isn't just for me. I mean, it is as much for every other believer. Okay. So according to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 15, speaking in tongues is a spiritual language. Say spiritual language. It's never a known language. Boy, this is even more confusing, isn't it? It's never a known language. It's supernatural and unknown to you and I, so it can't be understood, not even by the speaker himself, unless, like I said, he prays for the ability to interpret what he is saying. Since this is Paul's very clear teaching about speaking in tongues, it affirms that on the day of Pentecost, this is something, the believers did not speak in known human language, but in a supernatural, unknown prayer language, just like, each believer today is endowed to do. Yet on the day of Pentecost, a special miracle took place. Okay? Are you with me? A special miracle took place. The believers spoke in tongues, but by the time that supernatural language reached the ears of the listeners, they heard a message in their own distinct dialects. Glory to God! Glory to God! That's the only way that you can explain that 120 people, that they could be speaking in tongues, and these people, this crowd of 3,000 plus, every one of them understood what was said. Every one of them understood what was said. The miracle was speaking in tongues, but the other miracle was that they understood it. When God is involved in your life, you can't limit him to one miracle. Glory to God. You have to let him do what he wants to do in your life. You got to let him give you the miracle that you need. And why am I saying that? Because there's some of us here this morning that wouldn't accept things from God if it was the only place that we had to go. The only place we had left to go. And somehow our pride keeps us from receiving from God. Oh, I can't be given that. Oh, I've been healed a number of times. Glory be to God. And I'm going to tell you this much. I'm going to receive it every single time. Amen. In fact, you don't even know how many times last year that I stood in that front row and said, God, I receive it. I receive it. We sang that song, you know, dead things come alive, you know, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. I used to go, hey, yeah, dead things come alive. I got a piece of me inside of me that is dead. I'm speaking for it to come alive right now in the name of Jesus. Well, that's silly. Oh, was it? Was it? Yeah, it worked. That's right. So in the day of Pentecost, the day of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, a special miracle occurred, confirming what it says again in Acts 2:6, every man heard them speak in his own language. And please understand something, and this is totally on the side. When it says every man, that's the Greek word is anthropos. It means every person, every human being. It doesn't mean only men came to this thing, okay? It means everybody. But they heard them speak in his own language. Now stay with me here, okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. Say it louder so I feel like you're with me.
Yes.
All right. And Acts 2:8 says, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And in verse 11, the Bible tells us that the listener said, we do hear them speak in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. So, and I'm just about done because I don't want to load you with a bunch of information so that you leave here and you go, what did he say? What did he say? Anyway, first on the day of Pentecost, the first great work that God did was to fill the believers with the Holy Spirit. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, the second great work was to free their human spirits so they could pray in tongues and worship God in the Spirit. When we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there's got to be a letting go. And I want you to hear this, please. And it'll make sense later on in the series. You can't depend on yourself to try to speak in tongues. You can learn it. Come on, hello? You can learn it. Because that's what it is. It's a learned language that's yours from God to spiritually pray that the Holy Spirit gave us, who Jesus said he had to come, or he had to go away so the Holy Spirit could come. That would be more important, more beneficial, more perfect, if you will, for him to go away. Can you imagine Jesus is standing there looking at you saying, hey, it's a better deal if I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. What would you say? No. I don't think so. Like, you need to stay. But he knew we would need this power. But anyway, in the third great work which occurred was when the believers spoke in other tongues and God supernaturally translated those tongues in the ears of the listeners so that each member of the audience heard, okay, they heard them speaking in his or her own language. You know, when I think about it in the natural, okay, here's 120 people, all right? And they're all making noise, right? But 3,000 understood the wonderful works of God. I mean, that's a pretty big miracle. And even maybe when you think about the fact that tongues is a big enough miracle, but the even greater miracle that day was the fact that they understood it. You know, some people, it would seem like it, all you would hear was, I shouldn't do this. It's okay, Wes, do it. Okay. Shabbat, you know, that's what you would hear unless God was involved. Amen? That's what you would hear. And it was such a great thing that happened. And so many times this miracle is not brought out when this miracle is so important. When the believers in the book of Acts were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to regularly speak in tongues, a door to the supernatural power swung open wide. Okay? And that's what will happen in your life. And the power unleashed through speaking in tongues is evident throughout the book of Acts. Look at me. Look at me. And is still in operation today. It's still in operation today. And just as early believers freely and fluently prayed in tongues or in the Spirit, however you want to say it, God has made those same things available to you and I. It's not that it's run its course. It's not over with the apostles. It's available for every believer. Do you have to be Pentecostal? No. No. Do you have to be a member of the Assemblies of God Church? No. Can you be a member of the Lutheran Church? Yes. I used to have a priest, because I was Catholic before I got saved. Maybe I shouldn't throw that point in, but I was Catholic, and he prayed in tongues. So, can you be Catholic and pray in tongues? Yeah. Yeah, you sure can. Can you be a non-believer and pray in tongues? No. No, I'm sorry. That's the one thing that's necessary is you have to be a believer. Why would you want to if you weren't a believer, right? And in the same token, why would you not want to if you are a believer? Oh, people think I'm crazy. Yeah. People will think I'm nuts, man. They'll think I'm demon-possessed. So what? I know I'm not. And I do know I'm not.
Amen.
Okay. You know, that's all I have for you today. Maybe next week will be really long, you know. The one thing that we have to understand is we're in the same dispensation. Okay, we're in the same period of time, if you will, yes. when the Spirit was outpoured. There was not a shutting off at that time. And don't give me the scripture that says, when that which is perfect shall come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Yeah, that's true. That was written after Jesus came. That was written after the Holy Spirit came, not before. And the day has not come. I'm sure that we're in heaven and we won't all be speaking in tongues, okay? Well, I don't know, maybe we will, who knows? But all I know is this. There was a period of time in my life, okay, when I went to church every Sunday, and I was no more saved than a rock, okay? And then I got saved, and I got introduced to this Holy Spirit as being more than the third person of the Trinity, and that Holy Spirit actually had gifts for me, and that Holy Spirit actually cared and would lead me and take me from one place to another place and show me the things of God. And that has made so much difference in my life. And if it's made a difference in my life, and I guarantee you I'm not demon-possessed, okay? I know that it'll make a difference in your life. Why do some people get tongues and some people don't? I don't know. There. I don't know. I wish I could answer that. And so do the people who don't receive. But you've got to understand one thing. It's like what I said at the beginning of the sermon, okay? There's some pretty nasty people, pretty unchristian-like people who speak in tongues, okay? It does not judge your maturity, your ability to receive. It does not judge that part of you. Please, please, please. This is not a condemning, saying you better. But I will say this is a encouraging, you should want to, okay? Okay, why don't you bow your head with me, please? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you continue to pour out your Spirit to reveal your Holy Spirit and its intention and all of the different things that we have because there is a Holy Spirit. I pray that we would get hungry, God, for the Holy Spirit. I pray that we as a church would expect the Holy Spirit to move every Sunday. And that doesn't mean so much that we would speak in tongues, but God, that you would move by your Spirit and we'd see healings and we would see people set free, the bondages broken in their lives, the addictions disappear. I thank you, Lord, that that's the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, God, that Holy Spirit has come to infill us. I thank you, Lord, that part of your kingdom, that portion of your kingdom, is ours. And I thank you, Lord, for all these things. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus. I'm so grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful that you have provided for us so that we can walk in victory. I realize we're still going to fall. But God, according to your word, you said that all things work together for the good, for the called, for those who love Christ Jesus, for those who have committed their heart to him. God, let us be a people that don't pick and choose what you should give or can give. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. I was going to have people come up to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to wait to do that. I'm going to wait until we get a couple more in the series into our hearts. One of the greatest things that the enemy will do is tell you immediately when you speak in tongues, that's not it. That's not it. You just sound like a baby. It's just a bunch of... If you ever hear that when you're being prayed for, you know. You got it. One other thing. you don't break into this huge prayer language. You might get one word. You might get two. But as you repeat those and go to God with that, that language kind of like a baby, you know, how they can say mama one day and dada, well, usually dada first. But they only have a little bit of a command of the English language because they don't know. It's no different with tongues. As time goes on, as you speak in tongues, that language, that the amount of words that you get from the Lord, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I could talk all day about this, but God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.